Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the night's main event.
Brett Allen.
Comedian and podcaster Ashley Ray Harris is on the show today. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. She has a brand new recording out on Blonde Medicine, Ice Cream Money, which came out on the 1st, which is really funny. And then a podcast, TV I Say, with Ashley Ray, which is a lot of fun. I just listened to your episode with Kev on Stage. He is so fascinating and just a funny guy. That was a really good interview. Thanks for your time. I appreciate you hanging out today.
Oh, I'm so glad I could be here. Yeah, that was one of my favorites. I think it's surprising to most people that Kev on Stage and I are huge Attack on Titan fans. So it was great that we just had an episode to really geek out about it. It was fun.
Yeah, so we'll start with the album. How far in are you when it comes to this and putting out the record? I understand 10 years is about the average, but it can vary, obviously, depending on experience and how your career trajectory goes.
Yeah, I guess I officially would say I started stand-up about 8 years ago.
Okay, so right around
gosh, is it that far? Yeah, it's about that. Oh my gosh, yeah, it's 8 years. Okay, yes. But I that's when I really decided, like, oh, I'm going to hit open mics. I had been performing before that, so I was comfortable on stage. I'd been doing storytelling. I had sort of an idea of what I wanted to do, but at that point, it didn't occur to me to do stand-up. I was like, oh, spoken word or storytelling, that's okay. And then I just suddenly realized, oh, I just like to make people laugh, and I just want to do that part. So I think I'm lucky because I came up in Chicago, and I think it's a scene where you get a lot of experience and you get to do a lot pretty quickly. And you also can tour a lot. It's so great to be in the Midwest where you can, if you have a car, you can do Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Indiana. You can go and just do all these shows in the area, all these festivals. And that's what I did. I just applied and toured and did shows all over the country. I had a day job. That would send me places for work, and anywhere they'd send me, I'd be like, is there a comedy club there? Can I do a show? Is there an open mic? What can I do? So it's been kind of just crafting these jokes that way over these years and finally having it on an album. We recorded at Union Hall in New York, which was really special for me. That was where I did my first solo show, and I was just kind of like, oh, I'm a real comic. So it felt good to do my album there.
Yeah, and validating too, I would imagine, to be able to do it and have a good set too, which can be challenging sometimes, right? As a comic, is like, do I want this to be on the album? Do I not? Now, you mentioned Chicago. What part of Chicago? I was in Illinois for a long time. Suburbs, Bensonville, Elmhurst. So you know the area.
Oh yeah. I grew up in Rockford, Illinois. So. Okay. I know Illinois, Northern Illinois. Whew, that's all me. But I lived in Logan Square for 8 years before I moved to LA 5 years ago. And then just growing up in Northern Illinois, I was always in Chicago. I loved going to like Second City and just was one of those, you know, kids who was like, oh, I'm a nerd for comedy and it's all right here. So when I got started myself, I think Logan Square also at that time, it had a big boom of like alt comedy stars.
Right.
So like Sarah Sherman was leading an open mic. Caleb Heron was doing a lot of shows around then. Just a lot of people who now you're like, yeah, they're big and they're exactly because there's so much talent there. So I think just having all these weird spaces to do weird comedy helped me find my voice pretty quickly.
Yeah. And there's a pretty big alt comedy scene in New York too. I understand. Yeah. Which I think is very fascinating because like, I feel like there's something for everybody. Now most go to New York, LA, or get their start there. You started in Chicago. and now you're in LA. How do you compare the two experiences as far as LA's? The old saying is you get good in New York, you go to LA to get discovered. Is that the same for Chicago, or can you get, you can get discovered in Chicago, obviously.
I mean, the people from Chicago who got discovered when they left Chicago.
Yeah, they went to LA. Yeah.
And I love Chicago. And I think like you can get discovered there, but I think doing comedy in Chicago is so great because there isn't a desire to get discovered. Like part of the fun of doing comedy there is just, it's freeing because you aren't worried about industry. You aren't worried about making it. You don't have that like competition. It's a freedom to be weird. But then, yeah, of course there are the people who are like, I want to be big. I want to do this. And there's a path for them too. But I do think like, if you really want that, eventually you have to leave Chicago. You're going to, if you, you know, that's just how it is. People said it was changing like when we were in COVID and everything was remote, but I just feel like still to really get like stand-up experience, you have to have that time in New York. I think like just being able to do multiple shows, if you want to be a writer, like that experience of writer's room, you kind of have to be in LA. So I think from Chicago, you can kind of play it, like decide on which way you want to go. But I think comparing Chicago, like I said, Chicago, you have all the space to be weird. LA, it's the constant pressure of, is industry here? Oh no, is someone famous going to show up and bump me off of this show?
Yeah, you're going to get bumped for like a Dave Chappelle spot.
Yeah, know. Or like some person who was on a NBC show that got canceled after one season 8 years ago. Like, you know, it's that happens, but it's also you'll want to try new material or be weird, and you can book shows that you're like, oh, this is experimental. It's like some backyard show. It's small audience. I can do new jokes. I'll just try this. And I did a show one time where that was my plan. I'm like, oh, this is some backyard. I'm just going to, let's try some new stuff. I've been wanting to try this. And as I'm waiting to go on stage, everyone is like, oh, excuse me. And the Obama daughters walk in, like Sasha and Malia just walk into this backyard, take a seat with their friends. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just going to be funny tonight. I'm going to do my very funny type material that I know is funny. No new stuff tonight. And That kind of part. Like, even if it's not industry, it'll just be like, oh, there's someone here I want to impress. So I have to just be funny. And, you know, in Chicago, you don't really have that concern.
Yeah, that's funny that would be the case. Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple documentaries you mentioned about, you know, comedians who went to television and then get a series canceled and go back touring. They followed Jerry Seinfeld along for a while after his show got canceled, Ray Romano after his show went off the air. And those guys struggled for a long time trying to maintain the relevance that they had before because, like, they were on TV and that didn't necessarily... Now it does, but at the time it didn't translate over, not to digress too far off of it, but I get it. I mean, that's challenging to try and figure all that out. But you've obviously had some level of success. You've got a great podcast that people want to be on. You're making contacts that way and you're performing regularly in LA. So that's a win, right?
Yeah, it's great. You know, I like I said, I'm grateful for Chicago. It gave me that space to just make jokes and, you know, come out here and just jump into the scene. I knew a lot of people from touring out here. So I love LA. I love being out here, love doing shows. It is cool to be in like these classic comedy places. I started a show at the Comedy Store and it's like, like you're in it. You're like, yeah, I'm doing it. Here I am.
How was your experience getting into the Comedy Store and having the success to get cast or to be able to do something there on a regular basis? Was that a long road for you?
I'm not passed up to like that takes. That's the, like, I see comics who are passed and it's such a awesome, cool thing. So like new people kind of took over the comedy store or started booking, and the Belly Room upstairs is where they've always tried to incubate diverse and new talent. And when I moved here, they really had an effort to be like, hey, this is not a scary, exclusive place. Like, we're not mean. We just come to the comedy. We'll give you a tour if you're a comic. Like, if you know someone. And Jessica, Michelle Singleton, and Madison Shepard, two LA comics, were just kind of like, if you're a woman and you're afraid of this place, just come here with us when we have a show. We'll give you a tour. We'll show you it's not scary. We'll introduce you to people and show you how it works and how to book something here and who you need to talk to. So that was kind of my introduction. And you know, it is a space where, like, once you establish yourself as a comic, there is like a camaraderie. It isn't like you don't have to be terrified. I think it's really intimidating at first because you're like, oh no, what if someone really famous walks in and then that happens and you're just like, oh, no one cares. You're like, no, yeah, Mark, who cares? You're like, you're just, we're all just here. And so I just kind of started doing that, doing some shows in the Belly Room, doing shows around town until I could really kind of prove, you know, what I could book. I've been doing shows with Babs Gray around LA for a while. And yeah, when they said we could use the Belly Room, we were like, absolutely. This is such a great space to try new stuff, to get an audience, that is, you know, kind of down to see weird comedy.
I love it. So let's talk about the podcast. You've had some great guests on there, which is hosted on Earwolf. So that's very cool. How did that whole podcast thing start for you?
Ooh, I lost my mind during the pandemic, like most people. I was
Right.
just in, yeah. And like everyone, I was like, I need a new hobby, I guess. And I had a roommate, so I wasn't leaving my room much. And I was like, oh, I could do a podcast in here. I had like had a space under my bed, and I put padding up and was like, yeah, sure. And it was totally just independent. My first season, I at the time had done a lot in TV criticism and journalism and just writing. So I had a lot of connections to PR people, and I just started hitting up people. And I was like, hey, can I interview this person? Can I talk to this person about this show? And I was also at a stage in my career where I wanted to just kind of do less criticism, but I still wanted to talk about
Sure.
TV because I love TV. So I was like, oh, a podcast is a less critical, fun way to celebrate the shows I want to talk about. So, you know, it isn't some snooty prestige, whatever. It's more like, oh, I'm going to talk to Roxane Gay and Seth Rogen about 90 Day Fiance. It's very just whatever you watch, TV can be whatever you say it is. That's the kind of the joy of the podcast. And yeah, after doing it myself for a year, Earwolf decided to buy it. So I was really happy about that.
Very cool. Favorite guest you've had so far?
Oh, that's tough. I love all of my guests.
I know, I know.
I will say this just happened. It was really special. I just interviewed Paula Pell, who's, you know, toward, like she's out promoting Girls Five Eva right now, wrote on SNL for forever. I've just seen her as an idol for most of my life. You know, like she created Debbie Downer with Rachel Dratch. I love her. And she was a recent guest, and we started talking, and we realized we had both played the same role in a musical in high school, like this very niche, nerdy musical. And we had both played the role of Mama in Quilters, and we started singing one of the songs together. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is amazing. Like, thank you. Wow, everything in my life is worth it just for this.
I love it. Well, congratulations on all your success. The podcast can be heard on Earwolf. The album is out on Blonde Medicine, and you're touring now. What's the scoop?
Yeah, I have some shows around LA, and then I'm going to be in Chicago, New York, Boston, and some other places. Follow me at the Ashley Ray to get the dates. I am very bad at remembering when I'm supposed to do shows.
Any plans to come to Colorado?
Yes, actually, I love Colorado. I want to come out and do what is the Comedy Fort?
Yes.
I really want to come out there. I've done some shows in Denver. They were all in like breweries, but they were great. Yeah, I love Colorado.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, and congratulations on all your
Thanks for listening
success and
and
all the
being a
things
part
you've
of today's
done. I really
conversation.
do
Thank
appreciate
you.
it.
If you
Thank
enjoyed
you.
today's episode, please consider
Thanks for
sharing it
having
with a
me.
friend. It's
Absolutely.
absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.